Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Munchcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is Munchcast with Cammie Blackstone and Leo Laporte, episode 60 for February 8th, 2009. Chocolate! This show is brought to you by listeners like you and your contributions. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks so much. Blackstone.
Leo Laporte, you know what? We're getting close to our, well, it's nice that we have these holidays spread out, but yet another chocolate-covered holiday.
What is a chocolate-covered holiday?
Well, I mean, of course, we talk about chocolate every Valentine's Day.
Yes.
And we also talk about it Halloween, and we talk about it usually around Easter, because everyone gets chocolate
bunnies. I guess, really, every day is a chocolate day.
Oh, you are so right.
But Valentine's is the chocolate holiday.
Oh, you better believe it.
First time I ever gave anybody chocolate, it was a heart-shaped box of chocolates on Valentine's Day to Valerie McGraw, my girlfriend in fourth grade.
Oh, Nielsen research shows that in America, we buy more than 58 million pounds of chocolate candy, and that is an annual $345 million in sales every Valentine's week.
I wonder what the per capita. Wow, I just found Valerie McGraw on Facebook. I wonder what the per capita consumption of chocolate is.
Well, I know for me, if I get a box, I really don't like to see it go stale. And so once it's open, it's pretty much fair game. I've been known to polish off an entire chocolate heart box, the small size, in, an hour.
An hour?
Yeah, because they have like the small ones with like 10 pieces of candy.
Oh, no, I was just saying you're a slow mover.
Well, I like to savor. Don't you like to savor?
I do. But Jennifer, my wife, has a hard and fast rule that if I am to give her chocolate, it should be a small quantity.
Really?
Well, she doesn't want to eat it all.
I have just the thing for you to get Jennifer this Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
Okay, it's this new kind of healthy chocolate. It's called Jasai. It's spelled X-O-C-A-I.
X-O-C-A-I.
It's pronounced Jasai.
Jasai.
It's unprocessed raw cacao with no wax. And in fact, if you go to queenchocolatediva.com, you'll see they have a whole line of chocolate that's supposed to be healthy. They have like,
Wait. Does it have sugar in it?
I believe it has some sugar in it, because otherwise it wouldn't be palatable.
I was going to say, I don't care. I mean, cacao is nice, but if it ain't chocolate, if it ain't got sugar in it.
Well, yeah, and butter and all of that stuff. It's, yeah. Basically, I don't know. I think it must have some sugar and some butter. It just says that it doesn't have wax.
Oh, so the wax is the unhealthy part. Of course.
Wax is what makes chocolate shiny.
It does have wax normally, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Paraffin. Have you ever made like chocolate candy at Christmas time and, or something like chocolate balls that you dip into hot chocolate and then it makes like a hard candy shell? It's always shiny because of the paraffin.
Oh, yuck. You're telling me that there's wax in my chocolate?
Yeah. So what's great is you can buy I usually buy about a brick of paraffin a year, and half of it I use in chocolate and the rest I use to just make my drawers on my dresser slide in better. I just kind of grind it onto the drawers.
That's exactly what's wrong with chocolate today.
It's enough wax?
Too much wax. Now, wait a minute. I have some fine, Clark Goble sends me this stuff, some fine Amano chocolate.
Amano?
Amano chocolate. Mono.
Does that mean it's only for men?
It's an artisanal chocolate.
Ooh.
From Orem, Utah, AMANO chocolate.com.
I bet this has no paraffin in it. It says ingredients, cocoa beans, pure cane sugar, cocoa butter, whole vanilla beans. That's it.
That's it. No salt? No emulsifiers?
Not only that, it tells you, like wine does, where it came from. This came from Madagascar.
Oh. Well, I'll tell you something. You know, while most of us have been downsizing from Godiva to Russell Stover, there are...
Now you know the economy's bad.
Yeah. Although, in spite of that economy, there's this company called Original Beans that does the same thing as this Amano chocolate. They just introduced a candy bar. It's $13 for a 3.5 ounce bar.
See, I'm looking at this Amano. It's not glossy.
How many ounces is your Amano?
It's 2 ounces, and I think it's $7.
This is 13 for 3.5. But
wow.
each one of these candy bars from Original Beans has like a serial number.
You
go on the serial number, and you can trace the roots of the bar.
This is lot number 3466. So good.
Okay, you know, you're making me... You're making me crazy.
It's too bad we can't get a person on, like, who'd be like an expert on candy, who could tell us about chocolate.
Well, I think we could. I know exactly who we could.
Who would we get on?
Well, Susan Fussell, the candy girl who does the candy blog. I mean, she's...
I love her.
I do, too.
Do you think she's available?
Well, I have her number. Shall we give her a jingle and see?
Susan, is that you?
Hello. Happy Valentine's Day.
Oh, my God. It's Susan Fussell, the candy blog lady.
How are you guys?
Well, Leah's eating chocolate in Petaluma, and I'm not having chocolate in San Francisco. Are you having chocolate?
I am not having chocolate, but I did just finish not that long ago a delicious chocolate chip cookie.
Ooh, see, now that's a nice way to deliver chocolate. Mm-hmm. Embedded into a buttery, sugary cookie kind of a thing.
It was warm, too. It was perfect.
My wife just made chocolate chip cookies for our daughter in France because... God knows they don't have enough patisseries in France.
Oh, that was nice of her. Now, Susan, what is the latest and the greatest for Valentine's Day chocolate-wise?
Well, I just heard you saying that some people are downgrading from their boxes of Godiva. But, you know, in fact, premium chocolates are actually doing really well right now. The last 2 years, premium chocolates have grown about 30%. And even this year, we think we're going to see growth about 20% in that category. You know, when the general candy category is increasing between 2 and 3%, anything that's growing 20 or 30% is, you know, the shining star. So
they say
not
that
everybody's downgrading.
They say that in tough times, people go for the little luxuries.
That's right. You know, you might not be able to buy a new car this year, go on a fancy vacation, but you can always afford a really great piece of chocolate. Mm.
A $13 Original Beans artisanal chocolate.
What's the best chocolate?
You know what? That's what it takes.
Do you have an opinion about the best chocolate? Or?
Yeah, I do. I have a different opinion every day.
Oh.
That's convenient, isn't it? I change my mind all the time about what I think is the best.
Me too. I just have to try it all.
Yeah. Okay, well,
right now, I'm totally, totally into caramels that are covered with chocolate and then sprinkled with sea salt on the top.
Oh, salt and chocolate go together, don't they?
Love it.
Yeah, you know, there's a guy here in San Francisco, the Ricciuti. Yeah.
In fact, I have some of those right now at home. I was in San Francisco for fancy food a couple weeks ago, and I went and bought a box of Ricciuti. And let me tell you this, I have, you know, a lot of access to candy, so I almost never buy it. And I bought a $23 box of Ricciuti sea salt caramel.
Those are pretty heavenly.
Yeah, they're great. And I'm in good company, I think, because President Obama's favorite candy is the Franz smoked sea salt caramel chocolate.
How do we know that? Did he say that in a press conference?
Yeah, you know, what happened was, it's been widely reported in the media. What happened was a campaign worker from Seattle gave him a box, and somebody who worked on his campaign with the traveling campaign called the company, Franz, up and said, Senator Obama really likes these chocolates and would like to have more of them sent to the campaign trail. So they bought some and had them sent on the campaign with him.
What brand?
Franz.
F-R-A-N-Z?
F-R-A-N apostrophe S, like the woman's name. Franz chocolate.
Oh, man, I want some.
What makes they're amazing?
Michelle
prefers, so that's a milk chocolate. Michelle prefers their dark chocolate,
yeah,
which also has caramel, but it also has sea salt, but it's gray sea salt, not smoked.
I had terrific shortbread the other day. Actually, it was at the Academy of Sciences, of all places. But it's a passion fruit flavored shortbread that was dipped in sea salt. Like, it was covered in sea salt. Where I thought it was sugar, it was sea salt. And the shortbread and the butter and the passion fruit with the salt. Heavenly.
Sweet and salty. That we know. That's good.
Salty, yes. It's great.
So Fran's salted caramels are actually available online at franschocolates.com.
Mm-hmm, oh, look, they even have the heart-shaped box.
I might have to get some of those for my wife loves salt.
Me too. I can recommend them then. And you can get Ricuti online as well, or you can go down to the Ferry Plaza building if you're in San Francisco. And even Trader Joe's has its own line, a private label line of sea salt caramel. So they're getting much, much easier to find.
Now, what were you saying? I know when we were kind of Facebooking back and forth, you said something about chocolate codes.
Yeah, so here's the question that I get asked the most at Valentine's Day. How can you tell what's inside your chocolate?
Oh, I hate that. You don't know what's in there. You bite in, and it's,
don't,
you know.
Don't tell me you're one of those people.
I don't
you're
leave it.
You're not the finger in the bottom.
I know. No, I don't do that, and I have a family.
We can be friends then.
My family will bite half of it and then put the rest back, which is worse.
I cannot be friends with them.
I know. You got to eat it. You okay, bit it, you eat
you
it.
Use, what if you use a knife and neatly slice it in half?
Okay, but how does the next person know that that's what you've done?
Well, they can tell because of really the right angle.
I have a very straight bite.
All right, I will give you that. So, we can be friends, but do not poke your finger in the bottom of it. That's the worst. Okay, so here there are ways that you can tell. First of all, every manufacturer has a code. Every manufacturer's code is different, unfortunately.
Oh.
But they're almost always the same within brands. So even if you get a different kind of box than you got last year, you can always tell the what's inside by what's on the top of it. So
okay, you
know, if there's two swoops, it might be buttercream, and it will always be buttercream for that brand. But, you know, two swoops could be caramel for another brand.
So really it's going to take a lot of research.
It would take a lot, but it would be worth it.
I'm going to have to bite every one of them.
It's terrible research. You should do the research and then have like a cheat sheet guide on your website.
Oh, boy. That would drive traffic. Oh,
that's
man.
That's a great idea. Yeah. And there are also other little things that are sort of universal that can also help you. For example, caramels are almost always square, chocolate-covered caramels,
okay,
whether they're soft or hard caramels inside. And then sometimes they are the little round, really flat round discs. If it's a really soft caramel inside, like it's going to ooze out, then sometimes they're round and flat. But usually square is always caramel. If it has a small bumpy surface, it's usually nuts. A little bumpy surface, it's usually coconut, which is my least favorite.
See, I'll eat any. Oh, coconut's like Almond Joy or Mounds. That's good. You don't like that?
Coconut.
No.
I think last time we talked, you dissed Mounds.
No, I didn't. For sure not.
Okay, all right.
But it's not my favorite.
Okay, all right.
So, I'm always leery of the ones. I don't like the like buttercreams that are like citrus, like the orange buttercreams.
Yeah, that's not good. No.
Really? See, I think orange and chocolate's a really good combination. Oh,
yeah, I think like orange infused chocolate's good. But it's that.
But you don't like the orange buttercream.
Buttercream,
no.
Orange.
Okay. No.
Okay, that's fair. I don't really like the strawberry buttercream.
Same
so
thing.
I can understand.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. In fact, buttercream, we could do without the buttercream.
So, although I like butter and cream.
Yeah, but not buttercream. Is there a swoopy swirl that is kind of commonly known for the buttercream? Because if I could just avoid that, I would be 90% of my stuff would be gone.
Yeah, usually buttercream is either one single swoop, like sort of like a lowercase cursive letter L, or two cursive letter L's.
Oh, that's great. Now,
not always, but for a lot of manufacturers, they use like the lowercase L.
What about the brandied, you know, cherry?
The cordials?
Cordials. I don't like the cordials either.
No, that's one of my mother's favorite candies.
Yeah, because it's a cheap way to get
drunk. Last time we talked, I told you she loves Atomic Fireball.
Yes.
She also loves cherry cordial, so maybe she likes things that are red.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. How is she on the red velvet cake?
She loves it.
Okay, yeah. I think anything red for your mom, you're in like lid.
Good to know. Yeah. I've never realized that about her, but I'm glad to know it now.
Well, so now, can we like give to you, say, C's, which is a San Francisco Bay Area tradition, and now it's nationwide. I mean, It's available nationwide. Do you know, like, automatically when you look into a C's box, you can tell, are you that schooled?
I'm not, but I know which C's I like, and I know what they look like. So I like the caramel, and I like the toffee. And the toffee one is really easy to tell with C's because it's only partially covered with chocolate.
Right. I love that.
So that's a really easy one to tell.
Oh, I love that.
They've got great toffee.
Yeah, I like them. They're kind of chewy, and then they like the bottom half is dipped in dark chocolate.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Oh, they're good.
Oh. I'm so happy that you can get C's on the East Coast seasonally now. You can't get it all the time.
That's interesting.
Get it.
So C's is considered to be one of the better ones, huh? Because my wife, that's her favorite. That's all she'll eat.
Well, yeah, if you grew up on the West Coast, that's going to be your favorite.
We know Mrs. C's granddaughter.
Really?
I asked her, do you get free candy? She said no.
Oh.
Shocking. Shocking. I think this is like, you know, they could have an expose on this.
She could write like a granddaughter dearest book.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we did have some sad news in the chocolate world here in the Bay Area because Hershey's has bought Scharfenberger, which was one of the big artisanal chocolates. And then also Joseph Schmidt, who did the truffles. And now they're not going to be made in San Francisco or the Bay Area at all anymore.
There are those who
say. I don't know if they said where they're going to be making them. But they're still
in Indiana or somewhere.
They're not going to change it, though. I mean, I think that's the most important thing. It is. It's sad that they're leaving their hometown and where they grew up. But I think the most important thing is that the chocolate's going to stay the same.
There are those who say that Scharfenberger is overrated. Not I, but there are those.
Not me either.
No, I like Scharfenberger, but there are many. Yeah. I know many who say it's okay.
Yeah, Scharfenberger has a store in that Ferry Plaza building, too.
Yeah.
You San Franciscans are so lucky.
We like our chocolate.
You really are.
Now, I have just ordered for my wife's Valentine's Day present the salted chocolates from Fran.
Oh, I'm so excited. You have to tell me if she loves them.
Now, I got the box that has it's all salted. There's the gray and the gray and white or something like that.
Gray and smoked.
Smoked, that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never heard of smoked.
Gray is Michelle's favorite. Smoked is Barack's favorite.
Oh, she's going to love it that she's having the same candy that Barack Obama eats.
Yeah.
Gray and smoked.
So I'm hoping that now that I live in Washington, D.C., so I'm hoping now that the Obamas are in residence, maybe it'll be really easy to get Fran's around the city.
Was it tough when it was Ronald Reagan? It was just jelly beans. That wasn't as much fun, was it?
I really love Jelly Bellies, and the good thing about that is there are so many flavors.
He put them on the map. He really put, he made jelly.
He really, he did, yeah. 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 When such a great company, too. So.
Oh, they deserve all the success they've got.
You know, I mean, I remember that Reagan really liked Jelly Bellies, and I remember that George Bush Sr. really hated broccoli, but what did George W. like? I can't even remember now. I remember he didn't like pretzels much.
Yeah, because they almost killed
him. He used to, right? And then not so much. I think he was the one that didn't like broccoli, right?
No, the senior didn't like broccoli, yeah.
It was the dad.
Yeah. Hmm. But you're right. There hasn't been a presidential candy preference, I think, since the Reagan era.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think probably Jimmy Carter liked, Nutty Buddies.
Or Goobers, yeah.
Reese's Pieces.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. You know, I think that in a way that I think the president owes the candy industry, that little, just as the dress that the first lady wears to the inaugural balls is so important. The candy choice, I think it can really boost our economy.
Well, right. They have to have an official everything.
Yeah. It should be part of the stimulus package.
Yes.
The official tube sock.
My stimulus package. Send me candy.
Totally. I would really like to know what the girls' favorite candies are.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they probably like stuff that's really sour, because that's all that little kids like, stuff that's really
sour.
Right,
yeah, I think. Or maybe, so they grew up in Chicago, so maybe they're partial to the Chicago hometown favorites, you know, the
Marshall
Red Hots and Lemonheads. And,
what about the Marshall Fields Melt-Away candy? Those were good.
And that's from Chicago, so they may know
Franco
that.
Franco Mints.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. That's what they are. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're probably a little bit too young for chocolate. I mean, they probably really like chocolate, but I bet if you ask them their favorite, they're still in the realm of non-chocolate.
So chocolate is a more sophisticated, a grown-up taste.
Well, really young children tend to like non-chocolate, really little kids. You know, the first thing that we really love is bubble gum.
Yep.
And then more into the non-chocolates. You know, by the time you're 7 or 8, you're starting to really like chocolate. But it's not really probably until you're about 12 or 13 that you would, if you were asked your favorite candy, that you would probably name a chocolate brand.
Do women like chocolate?
Of course, that's a big generalization. I mean, sometimes, yeah. You know, 3-year-olds can't get enough of dark chocolate or, you know, something crazy, go figure. But
my daughter says that they're training the 2-year-olds in France to like pain au chocolat. They like stuff it into them.
I've heard that's true, yeah. It's a difference between American children and European children, that European children get more exposure to chocolate. Maybe it's because the American parents are keeping all the chocolate for themselves.
Well, maybe that's it. Now, as long as we're talking broad generalizations, I think it's often thought that women, more than men, are the chocolate fans. Is that true?
Yes, it's often thought that, and it's partially true. When men and women make a list of the foods that they are most likely to say that they crave or desire, women almost always list chocolate first. More women list chocolate first than any other food. Men are slightly more likely to list pizza.
Yeah.
Or steak.
Yeah.
And then chocolate. So while it's still really highly desired by men, it's maybe not necessarily always the first thing that comes to mind.
Interesting.
Whereas it almost always is for women.
Yeah. Women like the chocolate, as evidenced by those ads that I saw in the Super Bowl of the women storming the chocolate cookie truck.
Or worse, have you seen the commercial of the teenage boy that's using Axe body spray and he's made of chocolate? Have you seen that one?
That's pretty bad.
Oh my god, you've got to see it.
Do they bite his ears off first?
They do, and then they tear his arms off, and he's like totally like rabid. Women are like gnawing on this poor teenage boy.
Axe turns you into chocolate, so
well. If you okay, do a little Google, do a YouTube search for Axe chocolate, and you will see this commercial. It's weird. It's just strange. Now, I do have a question for you as long as we're talking like regional chocolates. I just found out about Mackenzie's chocolates. Have you ever had Mackenzie's chocolates from Santa Cruz?
Where are they?
They're in Santa Cruz. And the cool thing about Mackenzie's chocolates is that they do special shapes. And in Santa Cruz, the UC Santa Cruz mascot is a banana slug. So they do a box of chocolate banana slugs.
Yeah, banana slug.
You heard a banana slug.
You heard right. It's a slug that's as big as a banana. There's a problem right there. And it looks like a banana. It's yellow.
Well, if you go to Mackenzie's-chocolates.com, then you can see the box of chocolate banana slugs. They also do a chocolate cell phone, and then they also do a chocolate airplane. But the banana slugs really take the cake.
That's funny. I grew up.
Is that their best seller, the banana slug?
I think so, because I think that, you know, Santa Cruz is so proud of their banana slug heritage that, and it's not off. There's no one else who really capitalized on it the way they have.
Huh.
I grew up in Santa Cruz, and I don't think they mustn't have been around when I was there.
Maybe they're new. Now, I do have a Munchcast listener from Canada. I believe her name's Marianne, and she came to visit me in San Francisco and dropped off a box of Purdy's chocolates from Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you had Purdy's?
Canadians like their sweets in general. You know, they're a big donut country, and there's
that's right. They have a big donut chain up there. I can't think of it right now, but it's a man's name.
Yeah. It's the hockey guy. Yeah, it's the hockey guy. They're going to yell at
me. It was in Wayne's World.
Yeah.
So our other blogger is going to be mad at me now because his wife is Canadian and he has written about this shop on our blog and I can't think of it.
I want to say Tom Horner's, Tim Hornby.
Tim Horner.
Tim Hortons.
I'm proud of us.
Yeah, the late Tim Horton.
See, Carl,
great, hockey great. And I've been in many a Tim Horton. I mean, they're good. But
so
anyway.
I've heard they've got really good hot chocolate.
They do. Mm-hmm. And then there's Rogers Chocolates in British Columbia is very famous.
They're great. I've had those.
They're good.
And they also have a Charlie's Chocolate Factory. Have you been to the Charlie's Chocolate Factory in Canada?
Really?
No.
They apparently have a real chocolate river.
Do they have Oompa Loompas?
Well, it's kind of like the real Charlie's Chocolate Factory, I guess. Oh. But they also rent out chocolate fountains, which are another favorite.
Oh, I like chocolate fountains. That's probably not real chocolate, though, in there, right?
No, a chocolate fountain?
Yeah. What is in there?
Well, in a chocolate fountain, chocolate—I don't know what's in a chocolate river, but a chocolate fountain, a regular, like say, milk chocolate, isn't thin enough to run through a chocolate fountain. So, if you start out with milk chocolate, you have to either add vegetable oil to it, or you could start out with the Kuvertur chocolate, which already still has cocoa butter in it. It has all the ingredients of chocolate, but instead of having extra cocoa butter, it has a different fat.
See, I like the idea of vegetable oil in there. Doesn't that kind of take some of the?
Yeah, Leo was already grossed out earlier when I told about the wax.
Yeah.
Sometimes if you get chocolate fondue or if you make chocolate fondue at home, they say to add a little vegetable oil to it because, one, it makes it really pretty and shiny, but also it helps with the consistency.
It's probably better than paraffin. I really don't like the idea of the wax in there.
Yeah. You know, I mean, sometimes, like if you've ever made Buckeyes, I don't know if you know what Buckeyes candies are with chocolate and peanut butter. Yeah. It's difficult to make those without using the paraffin. It just, you know, it just depends on what you're doing. Sometimes you need to use the unusual ingredients.
And that is unusual, but it works. It makes them shiny.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be shiny.
Or it makes it easier to work with, or it changes the level that the chocolate melts at. I mean, if you've got to do a lot of hand work, chocolate melts at body temperature, right? So
sometimes you need to change the
melting point of chocolate.
So really, chocolate melts, you're right, because it melts in your hand. So chocolate melts at a very low temperature.
Correct. 98.6 degrees.
Exactly at body temperature? Maybe that's why we love chocolate so much. It's somehow
certainly one of the reasons. I mean, it's hard to replicate that mouth feel, as they say, for chocolate because it melts at, you know, the same temperature as your mouth.
Oh, how interesting. You're right.
I know.
Wow.
Susan, you are such a wealth of chocolatey information.
Cocoa butter is fascinating, really a fascinating substance.
Now, let's talk about chocolate because Cammy was saying at the beginning of the show, there's this company that makes, what is it, Groats? What is it, Cammy? Chocolate, it starts with the chocolate bean or whatever it is.
Oh, no. Oh, Original Beans. The one that does the $13 chocolate bar.
Yeah.
That one?
So
what? Or were you talking about the healthy chocolate?
The healthy chocolate.
Okay, that's Josai, which is, go to queenchocolatediva.com. And Josai is this unprocessed raw cacao.
Cacao.
Kind of healthy.
And I bought, if Ghirardelli sells nibs that are like cacao. So what is, chocolate
what's
is made.
Nib?
Yeah, what is the bean? What is the nib? What is chocolate made out of?
So cocoa chocolate. Let's start with, the finished product is chocolate that we eat, but it starts out as a tree. And the trees grow 20 degrees from the equator, and they are very temperamental. They require a lot of tender, loving care. Uh-huh. And on these trees grow pods. The pods are football-shaped, a little bit narrower than a football, but sort of that long shape. It's a fruit. Inside of that fruit, there are seeds. And those seeds are what we call cocoa beans. The cocoa beans are scooped out and dried and fermented, and then they're cleaned and then roasted. After the cocoa beans have been roasted, they get cracked. And inside of the cocoa bean is the nib, and that is what chocolate comes from.
The nib.
So you've got a tree, a pod, the pulp, the beans inside the pulp, and what makes the chocolate is in the center of the bean.
That is a lot of work
to get the chocolate off of a tree.
Wow.
Yeah. It's very, very time-consuming and labor-intensive process.
And yet
nib contains two things. It has cocoa mass and it has cocoa butter. The cocoa butter is the naturally occurring fat that comes from cocoa beans. It's not a dairy product, despite its name. So that nib is what is essentially chocolate liquor, and chocolate liquor is the basis for all chocolate products. It contains the cocoa mass, which is the brown part that makes chocolate taste chocolatey, and the fat, cocoa butter.
And then the liquor, what's that?
That is the liquor. It's the combination,
the
combination
the
of the mass and the butter.
So it's not really a liquid exactly.
No, not at all.
Paste.
Although certainly it can be melted and it can be in liquid form.
But now if you tasted that, would it taste like chocolate?
It tastes, you can tell that it's chocolate, but it does not taste like eating chocolate.
Right. It's bitter.
It's bitter, yeah. Of course, eating chocolate would have sugar in it, so it has a totally different taste. But it tastes like chocolate. If you've ever had like a square of baking chocolate, yeah, kind of tastes like that.
Right. And when now I presume it was the Indians that first ate it.
The right. Incas and the Mayas or something, right?
And did they sweeten it?
They did not. In fact, they put spices in it.
Oh, yeah, because Mexican chocolate's spicy, isn't it?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So they would put spices in it, and would they drink it or would they eat it? How did they consume it?
It was served as a warm beverage, not hot like hot chocolate is now, but just, you know, lukewarm beverage.
Oh, I bet it was
pretty
good.
Pretty thin.
Have you had it?
And spicy. Yes, I have.
Is it good or is it kind of like, now this is interesting?
It doesn't really resemble hot chocolate or hot cocoa at all.
Yeah.
It's...
yeah, you have to get that out of your mind. You can't think that's what
right,
I'm going to
get. And that's difficult for, you know, sort of a modern palate. So it's, you know, if I had the choice to choose between the two, I'm going to pick a hot cocoa, you know, the kind of hot cocoa that we know over the traditional kind.
But it's like mole, probably, because that's a wonderful, delicious dish from Mexico where it's a spicy chocolate that they'll put on chicken and other
things. Right, and that's not sweet.
It's not sweet. It's delicious, though.
Now, there's a whole... sort of a new, you know, culinary movement in the United States, at least, cooking with chocolate, not in sweet dishes, but more in the, you know, savory applications.
Well, see, I'm kind of interested in that. I mean, as a whole new flavor that's not candy.
Right. In fact, we are, since it's Valentine's Day this week, we've got a big campaign that we are doing starting on Monday, We've released 7 new recipes from Jacques Torres, the chocolatier in New York, and they include things like salmon coated with cocoa nibs, and a ginger chicken with a chocolate reduction.
Oh, this sounds so good.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting to try some on Tuesday, and I'm really excited
about
it. So
jealous. Now, is this on Candy Dish Blog? If we go there, will we find these recipes?
If you go to, it will be later in the week, but for right now, if you want a sneak preview of the recipes, you can go to our regular website, which is candyusa.org, and all 7 new recipes are on, you can get to them right from the front page.
Well, now, I'm just reading right now another, I think this was in the New York Times, this hot Valentine chocolate, which I thought was going to be like hot chocolate, but it's actually a cocktail you serve in a martini glass. And it has Hungarian, it has
paprika.
Yum.
It has paprika, and it has a creme de cacao, and then 3 ounces of a dark chocolate liqueur, and then 1.5 ounces of chili pepper flavored vodka. And then an ounce of vanilla vodka. And you shake it all up in a martini. So it's like spicy, vanilla-y, chocolatey goodness.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
This chocolate-
One of the recipes that Jacques came up with for us is a chocolate pina colada. And you start with hot chocolate. And then you make a pina colada. You add it to a pina colada.
Now, in New York City, as long as we're talking in New York City, there is a great tradition that you go to. And I did this with my daughter when she was little. You go to, I think, Saks Fifth Avenue in New York City. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, you go get frozen hot chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Not so much in the winter, huh?
No, you wouldn't want to do that now.
But there are lots of places in New York that have frozen
Serendipities.
Hot chocolate, including Doc has it now, and Serendipity.
Serendipity's is kind of the famous, it's next back of Saks, and all the moms and daughters go there after they go shopping.
Yeah.
And it's good.
Mm-hmm. It is good. I have not had the Serendipity. I mean, I have been to Serendipity before, but I haven't had the frozen hot chocolate there. But I have had it at one of the Jacques Torres locations.
So Jacques does it. Okay.
It is. I mean, on a hot summer day in the city.
Now, you may wonder how hot chocolate can be frozen.
I am wondering that. How does that happen?
It's no longer hot. That's how.
Oh.
It's really just frozen chocolate.
So is it like frozen a chocolate ice cream?
No, it's more like a slushy.
Yeah, chocolate slushy.
Oh, that sounds really good.
Now, for a while, Starbucks did the most wonderful hot chocolate that you would have to have in a shot glass because it would kill you otherwise.
Yeah, they discontinued that, but they have new hot chocolate this year. It's called the Signature Hot Chocolate. It's not quite as rich as that.
Why did they stop that?
It wasn't very popular. I think it was too rich.
It was really thick. It was like drinking a candy bar.
Oh, that sounds so good.
The new hot chocolate they have is really good, and they have one with salted sea salt. Caramel hot chocolate.
Oh, you're
everybody's
kidding.
Jumping on the sea salt bandwagon.
Oh, obsessed. You're kidding.
I have been obsessed with this, so anybody who reads the blog is probably sick of hearing me talk about it, but I have been obsessed with the salted caramel since I've been talking about it since November. Like, I will not shut up about it.
Is it out yet? Can I go to Starbucks right now and get some?
You can. And the worst thing was that the first time I went to get it in the fall, they were out of the sea salt topping.
Oh, no, that's no good.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know.
So you have to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, so I was railing about it on our Facebook page, you know, how sad I was about it. But they have been restocked.
Oh, good.
Yes.
So is that, because I haven't seen that. So that's Starbucks everywhere? I could go to my Starbucks and get that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know.
They have three signature hot chocolates. The signature, the caramel, and there's a third one.
I want the sea salt.
But you can also have them made with peppermint or any of their other flavors, too. Yeah.
No, so that's the new signature hot chocolate.
Correct.
Oh, wow. And what was the name of that other one? It was some Mayan kind of a...
It was. I feel like maybe it started with an M, but I could be making that up. I can't remember.
Maybe it was called Melted Candy Bar.
That was practically...
That was basically what it was. It was so, so thick and creamy and unbelievably rich. It was good, but as you mentioned, you know, I mean, they served it in like the teeniest, tiniest little shot glass because that's all you could take.
Yeah. It was kind of an interesting idea. But.
I have a couple of quick ideas for Valentine's gifts if people want to kind of do their own do-it-yourself chocolate.
All right.
And one of them, and this was one of our listeners, Traveling Munchie, sent us this one. And it's a chocolate rose, and you can make this entirely out of the vending machine. Now, what you do is you buy out of the vending machine a Reese's peanut butter cup package. And then maybe a package of M&Ms and then like just a regular candy bar. And then you put the candy bar, you line it up so that it's vertical. And then you put the Reese's on the top and then you put green M&Ms going up the candy bar. And then you fill in the Reese's with the red M&Ms. And so it looks like a rose.
Oh, and I spent $48 on France chocolates. I could have just
I could made a candy rose.
What was I thinking? Why didn't you tell me that at the beginning of the show?
Okay, well, here's another one. She'll love this one. And Susan, your sweetheart will love this too. And we've talked about it before, but I've never actually made it at home. And that is chocolate covered bacon. Mm. Now, the chocolate covered bacon is really simple because you just use 12 ounces of Nestle's chocolate chips and then 8 slices of bacon. And you just melt the chocolate chips, basically. And then you dip the bacon and then you put it on some foil and put it in the refrigerator and it's supposed to peel right off. Oh, I forgot. You got to put the spray Pam on your foil.
Oh, very important.
Now, chocolate covered bacon is great, and it's getting really popular. Now, that smoky taste with chocolate, like good. It's sea salt and bacon. I mean, it is really good.
But Susan, seriously, does the National Confectioners Association have a position on bacon?
We are mostly pro-bacon.
It's not strictly speaking a confection, but it is the candy of meats. So it's probably appropriate that you have some position on that. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I say mostly because I am pro-bacon. However, the guy who writes most of our blog, Carl, he is actually a vegetarian. Uh-huh. So not only is he not pro-bacon or chocolate-covered bacon, but also when we have the gelatin candies, he has to pass them off to somebody else in the office to sample. Yeah, which is okay with us.
Yeah, but can he have a chocolate peppermint martini? That's okay, right?
You can definitely have that. Okay, yeah. Good. So we had a contest recently, and I mentioned that we're kicking off a chocolate culinary campaign this week, and I have a media event here in New York with Jacques Torres and his wife, Hosty. It's on Tuesday, and we're giving everybody who attends from the media a little swag bag, a gift bag. But it's not fair that they would get all the chocolate. So, starting on Wednesday, we're going to have another contest.
Oh, good.
And we're giving away the media bags to three people. So, if you
check
the candy
two of them should be Leo and me.
Yeah, really. Yes. You're only really giving one away right now. No, we can't do that. No.
So, we will announce that contest on Wednesday or Thursday of next week.
Now,
CandyDishBlog.com.
You can also follow them on Twitter. They're CandyUSA on Twitter.
Yes.
So that's a good way to kind of, I imagine you announce all that stuff on the Twitter as well.
We do. And we're also on Facebook. And we have a networked blog on Facebook as well.
Yes.
So there are lots of ways to reach us.
Think of Twitter and Facebook as your early candy warning system. Whenever there's a contest, you'll know right away.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, Susan, thank you so much for joining us, and happy Valentine's Day to you. And I can't wait to figure out how to add chocolate to salmon and make it taste good.
Well, definitely check out the recipes on our website. There's 7 of them. So next time I speak with you, hopefully you will have made all 7.
And will those be on the Candy Dish blog, or will they be on Candy?
They will be. USA. They'll be on both.
They'll be on both. Okay. So,
but right now they're on. This is sort of a sneak preview. They're not technically being announced until Monday. Right. So we have a sneak preview.
We got a scoop.
Yeah.
So it's candyusa.org because it's, you know, it's the official. Do you have a lot? Do you like lobby Congress?
We do. Yeah.
I love it. We need Mars bars in every. I don't know. That's a great job. So it's also, and also Candy Dish blog is the blog, and it's not just Susan. It's Carl too. But don't ask him about bacon.
Don't ask him about bacon.
Carrie and Becky.
There's 4 bloggers. And the other one, there's another one named Susan, and then there's also Tori.
Oh, so, that's right, Susan and Tori. Yes, can't miss them either. Thank you so much for joining us, Susan F.
You guys have a great Valentine's Day.
Great to talk to you. Happy Valentine's Day.
Eat more chocolate.
Yeah. Yay, we will.
They're lobbying Congress right now. Eat more chocolate.
Eat more chocolate.
They want to put that on the dollar bill. I think that's good.
I think, again, part of the stimulus package.
Yep.
In chocolate we trust.
Thanks, Susan.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, that's so fun. Eat chocolate. Eat more chocolate.
You know what, Leo? I was just thinking. You can also listen to chocolate at audible.com.
Is there chocolate at audible? Oh, we don't have an ad today, so don't worry about it.
Oh, okay.
I'm going along. I go, oh, yeah, really? Oh, yeah, chocolate. I love that. Audible. Yeah, but we don't have to do an ad, but I love that. Oh, that's
all right.
Great.
Well,
yeah.
They do have a Why Women Need Chocolate at audible.com. So why there do you have it.
Now, they say, now they, I don't know if this is true, but they say that there is that the one of the phenylbromine or something in the chocolate simulates the feeling of love.
Well, I don't know about that. I think that women just have a more, a more developed palate. And so they understand the complexities and nuances of chocolate more than, say, a man.
Well, if you go to chocolate.org, it will say that chocolate is a psychoactive food with its phenylethylamine that they call PEA. They call the love chemical.
Hmm.
The love chemical. I don't care. It's a good excuse. I feel like love.
A good excuse.
I feel like chocolate.
I totally. You know what? Somebody gave me a chocolate dipper. Like it's like a crock pot for chocolate that you can dip stuff in.
Perfect.
And I'm totally going to use it tonight now because
perfect.
I'm so chocolate. I'm so like lathered up now for chocolate.
Well, I probably should have asked your recommendation, but I did immediately go to franschocolates.com and order a red satin heart of gray and smoked salt caramels.
Yum.
A la, you know, the favorite candy of the president and his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote this message on the box. Salty and sweet, your lips can't be beat. Be my Valentine. What do you think?
It's fantastic.
You probably shouldn't write the messages while
Rhyme and Simon. Rhyme, yeah.
While I'm doing the podcast, probably not the best time. But that's when I order all my foodstuffs. Because you get me hungry on this darn
show. You are totally multitasking at all times.
How about the Chocolate Carol?
Okay.
Written by David Avshlamov and performed by Pins and Noodles, ladies and gentlemen. There we go. Oh, yeah. There you go. Sing it. All together now.
When I get you down and voices all round and the worries of it how you meet. When love is a trial, or the weather turns mild, we restore our favorite trees, rich and sweet.
Sing along now, everybody. This was church that they sang this. Boom, 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 boom.